All right, today let's continue. Be looking at submission in the workplace, biblical submission in the workplace. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. Let's stand as we read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to verse 25. All right, I'll read verse 18, you read verse 19, and so on until verse number 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. The Bible reads, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward." Verse 19. "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." Verse 21. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." Verse 23. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Verse 25, let's read together. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, once again, the Apostle Peter giving instructions to the servants, the slaves of those days. I believe, Lord, that you have a message even for us as workers and employees, how we need to behave as believers in the workplace as we learn submission, Lord, firstly to you and your word, and then as an expression of our love for you and our obedience to your word, we will practice, Lord, submission in the workplace. We pray that you will help me, Lord, to humbly submit to your spirit as I expound this, Lord. I pray that none of my flesh, what I think, Lord, will bear that I will not speak, Father, what I think, but what your word plainly teaches. And I thank you for what you're going to do. I pray that every believer who hears the voice of the Master will hear this too today. I pray you speak to us in a special way for those who are overseas. Keep them safe, Brother Henry and the family, Brother John and his wife. And I pray, Lord, that you keep them. We'll thank you for what you're going to do. Bless the chapel too. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. This is going to be a hard message, not because you'll kill me, but the Lord Jesus, or rather Peter, actually is going to address one thing that I think many of our brethren go through: how to handle your bosses at work. How do I behave as an employee? Okay, and Peter actually had very clear instructions for the servants of those days, and I believe very much there is also the parallel teaching for us in application today. All right, so we just go straight in, looking at the whole area of biblical submission in the workplace. All right, there are other passages which I'll bring to bear on this as well. So hopefully we will be able to hear the voice of God. All right, thank you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, Peter starts off the whole discussion from 18 to 25 with the word servants. The word servants literally mean in those days a residence in another person's house. Okay, so it's actually a house slave. It's a house slave. In today's context in Singapore, it would be like a maid, okay, a domestic helper. There was one time I was teaching Sunday school 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when I say, okay, we have maids, and this girl from one of the junior colleges of Singapore, that's not politically correct. You know, my way to church. But anyway, we talk about domestic servants, a maid. Okay, servants basically is a maid, okay? And during those days, they were the slaves. And they were the slaves, they would do the bidding of their masters, okay? And Peter was addressing this to the Jewish people because many of them were actually slaves to their Roman masters. They were slaves to their Roman masters. And so Peter addresses that to the Jewish Christians. Servants, be subject. The word subject means to be submissive to your masters with all fear. The word all fear has the idea of with all the respect and reverence to the position of the boss. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. The word good and good means those who are kind to you. The word gentle means those who treat you appropriately, treat you courteously. Those who are reasonable, that will sit down and talk. Some, many of us have those bosses whereby they're very good to you. You know, you have an issue saying, oh, let's talk about it. And they were very good. All right? But Peter went on to say, not only to the good and gentle, not only to those people who are kind to you, not only to your bosses that are reasonable with you. I'm sure many of us do have reasonable bosses. But Peter goes on to say, but also to the froward. To bosses that are unreasonable to you. To bosses that treat you with less respect. Okay? And many of the Jewish slaves actually had masters who were not very kind. Okay? They were not very kind. The principle that Apostle Peter expounds is this, that a servant, in our situation as an employee, is to be in subjection to their bosses with total respect. The Bible says, be subject to your masters with all fear. Total respect. The attitude that all employees must have towards their bosses is total respect for the position that he's the boss. Okay? That's what Peter is saying here. An employee is to be in subjection to the bosses with total respect, to those who are kind and reasonable bosses, but also to those who are not so kind. And in fact, in the culture of the Jews, the Romans may actually be very inhumane or cruel bosses. And this is an interesting thing because all of us have worked under probably bosses that are unreasonable. People, bosses who will, they call it the boss want to squeeze you dry. You know, especially our brethren from overseas who come here, who knows that they have to really listen, and sometimes the bosses actually take advantage of that. And if you don't listen, just ask you to go off, you know, and you have things that you need, you're supporting your family back home and all that. And so it becomes very hard. Now, let's look at other passages that teach on this. The principle that Peter highlights is very clear. As an employee in a company, in this situation, as a slave in a house, we are to treat our bosses with total respect. To those who are good and those who are not so good. Okay, that's the principle. And after Peter will give us three reasons why later. But let's look at other passages that teach the same thing. Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 to 25 is actually in your verses there. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Well, that's a clear teaching of the scriptures. We are to obey. The word obey means when an instruction is given, we are to do. Obey in all things. Everything that a master tells you to do, you are to do it. Obey a master in all things according to the flesh. Not with eye service as man pleases. In other words, you don't obey your boss because you want to curry favor. Okay? Or you want to make sure your boss will be preparing you for promotion or something like that. Okay? Not to please your boss only. But in singleness of heart, fearing God. Paul states a very important principle for all employees. Your secular work, actually there's no such thing. Because when you work, you are still serving God. According to this verse. Because, or rather, when you are doing your work in your workplace, God is still your principle of how you will respond in the workplace. Okay? And Paul actually says, obey your masters not just to please men, which is the natural thing for a lot of people who are not Christians to do because they want to please the boss. Now, I see that last time when I was in the army or in some of this institution, the CEO and all the people, they're always treated with great respect, you know. Or the commanders, the division commander will come in, everyone will kind of move aside. And I mean, we respect that position. But there are some people who really do that to curry favor. Men pleasers, okay? And so Paul was teaching the Colossian church, don't do that, but do it with a singleness of heart. In other words, when you work in your workplace, you're obeying your master at work because your heart is very clear. The job is given by God to me, and this is my boss, because I fear God, I'll listen to him. Does that make sense? Can you see the connection? It's not about how good or bad the boss is. It's about my fear before God. How I need to work. It's not about how good my boss is to me. It's not about whether my boss considers me a promotion. I work hard because I fear God. And God sees my work at work. Just in case a student say, I'm not talking about work. Your work as well. When you study, students, you study hard because you fear God. Not because you will feel that you will fail. Okay? So, in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatsoever do it heartily as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And so, very clear, Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5 and 7, teaching the Ephesian church, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to your flesh with fear and trembling. Respect again, and trembling in your heart, in singleness of heart again, as unto Christ. So when we go to work, our heart must be clear. We are there because God put us there. And we are doing a good job because we love God. And we fear God. Because God is also using that job to support us in our families. Alright? Not as man pleases, not with eye service as man pleases, but as the servants of Christ. Now this is an interesting thing because Peter and Paul, okay, agree on this, that when we actually work at a workplace, we are the servants of Christ. Okay, after this we bring out as a very important point, doing the will of God from the heart. So when we are working at our workplace, we're doing God's will from our heart to fear God, to do our best for our master. Okay? With good will doing service as to the Lord, not unto men. 1 Timothy 6 verse 1, let as many servants as are under the yoke. In other words, those are slaves, okay? Under the yoke means you have a burden that you have to bear because of what your masters told you. Consider their own masters worthy of all honor. Once again, the principle does not include the fact that whether your master is good or bad. It's just that if you are under the master, you have to count your master as worthy of honor. Alright, that's in Titus 1 Timothy 6 verse 1. To count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. This is an important thing. Sometimes, some of us may, in the past or right, even right now, you know, how many of you have seen this before? During lunchtime, during break time, we have, I know you have barbecue pastors, but now you have barbecue bosses. What do you mean? Talk about the bosses during lunchtime. You see, my boss, you know, and we the boss, and we begin to talk bad things about the boss. Okay? When we do that, if we are a Christian, we may blaspheme the name of God and his teaching. What does his teaching teach us? Speak evil of no man. What does his teaching teach us? Consider your bosses with honor. In other words, we will say nothing bad behind their back. And Paul actually highlights this as an important principle so that we don't lose our testimony at work. That the doctrine of God and his name be not blasphemed. How many times, sometimes as Christians, we do feel frustrated at our bosses sometimes. Yes, amen, we do. But you know, that doesn't actually give us a reason to do anything that will bring down the name of God and blaspheme the doctrines that we have learned or go against it. The word blaspheme means to speak against. By blaspheming the Holy Spirit, I'm rejecting, I don't want to listen to. If God says speak evil of no man, but we speak evil of the boss, we have blasphemed the doctrine of God. Does that make sense? That's what Paul is trying to tell in 1 Timothy. Okay? In Titus 2 verse 9, it goes a bit further. Goes a bit further. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own master. The word exhort means to challenge these people, admonish them, encourage them, give them courage to obey their own masters and to please who? Them. Who's the them? Please the bosses. Well, in all things. The last three words is interesting. Not answering again. The attitude by which Paul was trying to inculcate in the early church those people who were servants and slaves is to be willing, number one, to honor their master, obey them in all things, serve the master as if you're serving God with a fear in your heart, to serve also to a point that you will do nothing that will go against what you know as a Christian. You will not talk back about your boss. You will do your best about when your boss gives you instruction. But there's one more thing that Paul adds, not answering back. Not answering back. The word not answering back literally means even though we may have a better idea, even though we may have an opinion that seems to be better than the boss's, to firstly have a respect for the boss, if the boss feels that this is the way it should go on, but we think it's a better way, that we will not answer back, yes, boss, we'll just do it that way. Now, a lot of people will challenge that. Why can't I just say, yes, you can, but you know, the main thing that Paul wants us to learn in this, because there are some people who are fighting against their bosses, and say, no, you can't do that, and they were actually answering back in a disrespectful way to remove the fact that, hey, this is a boss. This has been, the boss pays your salary. All right? In those days, the slaves may not have a salary. But what Peter and Paul was trying to inculcate in the Christians during those days is the testimony of submission, which will be brought forward next week when you talk about the submission in the family with the husband and wife. Okay? But here, Peter is teaching these Jewish slaves, Christians, some of them, that even though you may feel oppressed and unreasonable, even though your boss may be unreasonable to you, you're not going to answer back because you have the respect for your boss. I know there are many things that will go through your mind, but we'll deal with that at the end. Okay? There's one question answer there. But you must understand what Paul was talking to these servants through Titus. He's saying, you're not to answer back. And the answer back has the idea of being disrespectful. Okay? Let's go back to Peter. Peter actually gives three reasons, not two, but three reasons why we are to be in subjection to our bosses. And then we'll go through that because I believe we need to understand we have our own reasons why we don't want to listen to our bosses, or we will listen to our bosses. One reason why people will listen to the bosses is basically the bosses pay your salary. And we will say, no choice, Lord, we have to obey our boss. Well, otherwise, we don't get our salary, my KPI will be low, and I don't get my bonus, etc. That is one practical reason. But you know, as Christians, we need to have spiritual reasons why we obey our bosses. Can I say that again? Because I see on Facebook, I see people who rant against the bosses because of what the boss did to them. Okay, and this is, God is not honored in that kind of things. We need to be very careful. God is not honored. As Christians, we may have practical reasons why we will still obey the boss. But as Christians, we need to have spiritual reasons why we obey our bosses. And Peter gives us three. Number one, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 19. After Peter said, not only to the good and to the gentle, but also to the frog, he says, because, first reason, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongly. The first thing is this. Because when a believer subjects himself to their earthly masters, especially to their froward masters, if in your relationship with Christ, you realize, hey, God just told me to submit to my bosses, earthly bosses, even to the froward ones, it reflects the work of God in their heart and therefore is acceptable to God. The phrase there, thankworthy, help us to understand why this reflects the work of God in their heart. The word thankworthy comes from the Greek word under the influence of divine grace. That simply means if you are willing to submit to a boss that is froward, that is unreasonable, it shows that God has worked so much in your life that you are willing to even humble yourself before a boss that is so unreasonable. Man by nature has pride, and when our egos are being afflicted or affected, we will fight back. Yes? And so, Peter is saying the first reason, if you subject yourself to the boss that is forward, it is thankworthy, is worthy of thanks. The worthy of God's grace, because God has influenced you so much, He has captured you so much, you're so spirit-filled in how God is working in your life, that your boss, though unreasonable, can see that submission in your life. Okay? The man, just read what I have, the man has learned that in submission to the good and to the bad, he is obeying his heavenly Father in all things. And that if he goes through this obedience, his heavenly Father has permitted him to go through that for the sake of training and teaching him in patience. In 1 Peter 2:19, let me read again, for this is thankworthy. This is beneficial. This is worthy of thanking God for. If a man for conscience towards God, in other words, you know, I can take things into my own hands and have it out with this boss. But I for conscience toward God says, no, I'm not going to do that. Because God taught me to submit to my master. For conscience to God, endure grief. Not many people like to endure grief. Grief means what? You feel sad about it, you pout, and maybe you, every day you work, you just feel that, hey, the boss, too much, and the boss asked me to work overtime, like extra 6 hours after, and I want to go back to sleep, but I can't, but you know, for conscience towards God, you say, God, I'm just going to honor the bosses in which you have put under over me, and I'm going to listen to that. Verse 20, for what glory is it when ye were buffeted for your fault? In other words, you're punished for your faults, you should take it patiently. Many Christians, maybe they didn't do something right, or and the boss actually punished them, and then they say, oh, I'm under the persecution of my master. Actually, it's not, you're just paying for your own boo-boos, okay? And Peter is just saying, what's the use if you say you're being punished, but actually you're just bearing your own punishment? But if you have done well, done the right thing, and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. So the first reason why we have to be subjection to bosses is because it reflects that God is working in our life to teach us submission. I can tell you, all of us don't like to submit simply because of pride. We don't want people to tell us what to do. You know, sometimes in the military or in some places that it's mandatory that you obey. You know, sometimes the officers feel very, you know, maybe the commanding officer said something and you really feel that something else should be done, which is not right, and you know more information on the ground and you feel that, you know. But you know what God still says? Obey your master. That requires us to humble ourselves. And that's why Peter is saying it reflects that God is working in your heart, is thankworthy. That even though you may have a better idea, but you're willing to submit, it shows that God is working in your heart to humble us, to suffer grief even, just to obey what God says. All right? Does that make sense? That's the first point. But I think the second point that comes in makes it even clearer. I want to expound a very, very important principle reflecting the life of Christ. The second reason that Peter gives is because, look at verse number 20. Sorry, verse 21. For even hereunto were we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Now the first one was, this is thankworthy because God is working in your life to teach you submission. But the second reason Peter gives is even more important. And I want us to listen to this, because this will help us to humble our hearts before God in submission, especially with bosses that is totally unreasonable. He said in verse 21, for hereunto were ye called. There is a calling involved here. You are called to do what? To follow Christ's steps. So we need to ask ourselves, what is the steps that Peter is expounding here? that has relationship to me as an employee with my boss. So what is the steps that I am supposed to take? He says in verse 21, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Verse 22, I'll just read that part and then I'll wrap it up with this, the principle. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That verse is important because, listen to this principle, Christ suffered, right? Did Christ suffer when he came to earth? Yes, he did. Was Christ persecuted wrongly? Yes, he did. But the Bible says in verse 22, he who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know what we are called to as believers? We are called to do right in all situations because that's the will of God. In every situation, we are supposed to do the righteous thing. In this passage, we must be clear. God is not calling us to a life of suffering. But because we do the right thing, it can lead to a life of suffering. Does that make sense? I don't think as Christians, we should glory in martyrdom. You know, or we should glory in suffering. No. But because we do the right thing, we may have to suffer for it. Does that make sense? We may have to suffer for it. Now, that's important. Now, let's come back to that principle of the steps of Christ. Okay, in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. The Son of Man came, Lord Jesus, came not to be served as a servant, but to serve others and to give his life a ransom for many. In this life, we are called to follow in the steps of Christ. What are some of the steps we are to follow? Number one, in verse 22, you can just jot it down if you like. He lived right before God. He did nothing wrong in his life. He did nothing wrong in his life. Who did no sin, neither was guile in his mouth. His actions were right. His words were right. Bring that into your workplace. You are doing, you're working diligently. You are following the rules. And then your employer becomes unreasonable with you. And you say, hey, what did I do? I'm trying to do the right thing. And how come you make decisions that doesn't consider me? You know, and you feel frustrated. But the principle that Jesus wants us to learn is that in the workplace, are you doing the righteous thing, the thing that you need to be doing? If that's the case, if you are doing, and you're not cutting corners, in verse 22, you're doing the right thing. You're living the righteousness of God. Does that make sense? Okay? But then, in verse 23, he goes on to say, who when he was reviled or insulted, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. The second steps we need to take in the workplace, that when maybe people misunderstand us, or when we're doing the right thing, but the bosses misunderstand or they treat us roughly, you know what we need? And sometimes bosses do threaten. How many of you as an employee have this threat before? If you don't follow what I say, I'll kick you out. Or you'll find another job. The bosses can threaten you. Why? Because you're dependent on them. But you know what Jesus did? The Bible says here, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. Sometimes bosses can say unkind words to us. Yes? Sometimes they say you are lousy or something, whatever. And they reviled. But you know, it's very tempting in your heart to fight back. But you know what Peter said? We are not to take revenge when we are wrong. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But to follow the steps. So when you, in your workplace, have been dishonored by your boss, our attitude should be, Lord, I've done the right thing. And I will not fight back. Oh, that's hard. That's against human nature. But that's what Peter is trying to teach the servants who were going through this. And it's not easy. But this is biblical teaching. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But you know what he did? Rather than fighting men, the Bible says, but he committeth himself, in verse 23, committeth himself to him that judges righteously. And this is an important principle. When you are treated wrongly at your workplace, submission to your boss requires us to have the attitude that even when I'm wrongfully accused about something at a workplace or my boss says something which I don't think is justified, I tried so hard and all that, our attitude should be, Lord, you know I did my best. I'm going to trust you about it. Because Peter said, committing himself to him that judges righteously. God knows what you have done, amen? God knows. You don't have to fight for yourself. God will fight for you. He judges righteously. Many times in workplaces, we take things in our own hands. We bang table. In the past, I used to counsel, well, you need to talk to your boss. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But people go on as far as bang table with the boss. That's wrong. You have to honor your bosses still, but to reasonably speak with him. But you know what? But even after talking and your boss still feels, you know, and it says things about you that your thing is not fair, is unreasonable. You know what our attitude should be? God, it's not right. But God, I'm not going to challenge my boss. Your word to me is to obey it. And God, I'm going to trust you that judge righteously because you are his boss. There is no, under no circumstances as a Christian in the learning of obeying master submission, are we to fight the authority that God has placed over us? And this is so, so important because it reflects a heart attitude that believes in humility like the Lord. That's why Peter actually used the sufferings of Christ to teach the servants. Because Jesus himself was a servant too, amen? And he was a servant unto death. And he was willing to be submitted even to the grossest injustices of the Roman Empire and the law that was unjust against him. You know, example, you're not supposed to put a man on trial in the middle of the night. Jesus was subject to a midnight trial. That is wrong according to the Jewish law. Okay, number two, he was sentenced to death for something he never did. You right? And that's why Peter brought Jesus as the example for the slaves. Say, look, your own master as a servant suffered the injustice. And so if you are suffering the injustice, commit yourself to God. Because he will judge righteously. He will actually deal with these people. To do the will of God, and when necessary, suffer for it. The will of God in your workplace is for you to keep your testimony that will not allow God's name and his teaching to be blasphemed among the Gentiles and in your life. So when we come up with an attitude that is, you know, the idea I shared before, I wish I was unsafe for 15 minutes, I'm not a Christian so I can curse the boss. God doesn't want us to have that kind of attitude. Does that make sense? God wants us to have a Christ-like attitude even when people go against us, say bad things. And we're doing our best as a servant. We work extra. And bosses sometimes don't see that. And so they say certain things which you feel that is not fair. Okay? But this is the life we are called to do right and if necessary, suffer for it. That's what Jesus suffered. Was it for himself? The right thing was to do the will of God, right? But to do the will of God, Jesus actually had to pray, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And God, why should I have to suffer? Lord, I'm going to be separated from you. But in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Because of his submission to his Heavenly Father, he was willing to go through the gross injustice and the cruelty of the Roman Empire and the rejection of his own people. Now, this is hard for us today in employment because we find MOM says we have our rights. We do. Okay, some bosses are real downright unreasonable. I think there are some really, really bad situations whereby the overseas workers that come, the bosses withhold their wages for 5 months and 10 months, and that's not fair. And I think that's where the authorities need to come in. And I don't talk about the authorities. I think there was one time when NBC forgot to put my CPF in because of an oversight. Within the next month, CPF wrote a letter to them already. You better remember to pay it straight away. They're very particular about the workers' rights and all that. But you know what? That's what the world does to maintain the system. But some things within the workplace is not maintained by systems because the boss is in charge. And that's where God wants us to have a Christ-like submissive spirit in the workplace that says, no matter what the boss say about me, no matter what the boss do to me, as long as I'm doing the right thing in the eyes of God, I need to reflect Christ in my words, in my actions, in my duties. Now do the right thing. I may not like the boss because of that, but you know what? I still need to maintain my Christ-like testimony. Okay? And this is important because that's what Peter was teaching them. And so he goes on to say in verse 23, but committeth himself that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. 24, 25 is the third reason why we have to submit to our bosses, because we need to realize that when we go through this kind of unreasonable, so-called suffering through God, God has a purpose embedded within there. When Jesus suffered unrighteously, what was the purpose? Notice what the Bible says in verse 24, who his own self bare our sins on his own body, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Can you see that purpose? Can you see that purpose? And then, because we were as sheep going astray, but now you are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. In the submission to your employer at the workplace, the third reason is to remember that even in there, God has a purpose. You may not know the purpose, but God has a purpose. Some of you may know one of the deacons from MBC. It was a wonderful testimony. Immediately after his university graduation, he couldn't find a job for 4 months, 5 months. He just couldn't find a job. All right, and he didn't want to work in a job that has to do with money because he's bad in maths. Some of you are bad in maths. Amen. Anyone else bad in maths? Cannot take maths. I will not take maths, okay? But anyway, doesn't mean maths is bad. It's just I'm not good at it, okay? So this particular brother he wanted a job in the civil service to work with people, but in the end, he just got a job in Philips Trading, in the stock. I don't think he did stocks, but he was in a place where there's money and a lot of calculations. And he just said, Lord, I did a job. And so he just took whatever came. And so he was willing. He went there. He did his best. You know, that was 4 months after he graduated from university, July to about October, November. He got a job. He worked. But you know what? I can't remember all the details. But you know why God got him that job first? Because of that job, he got to know another person. And the other person needed Christ, and because that person needed Christ, came to MBC, he got saved, he got baptized, now his wife, his children are all in MBC. Guess what? The next month, God gave him the job that he wanted. I still remember during our first children's camp, he said, Brother Johnny, I need to go for an interview the next day, because he had an offer to go. God had a purpose. Do you see the purpose at your workplace? Or do you just see your unreasonable boss? We need to get past seeing things with our flesh to realize that even in the unreasonableness in our workplace, God still has his plan. Amen? Jesus went through the unreasonable Roman system. He was crucified. The Bible said, so that we as sheep were going astray, but now we have returned. to the bishop and the shepherd of our souls. And this is an important principle for us. But Brother Johnny, does that mean I have to endure my boss and not resign even when he's so mean and unreasonable to me? Does that mean I have no place? The principle that God says is that you are to honor your bosses because God put him over you. That's the principle. Which means that if you have any ill intention against the boss or you want to speak evil against the boss, that's sin against God. That's not what God intends for us to have. But I don't believe God doesn't allow us to respectfully speak to the boss about it. Because there's no provision, say you cannot talk. In the past, in fact, in the book of Titus, say you're not to speak back again. You're not supposed to talk back to your boss. To consider and esteem the boss in this way is interesting. Some commentators on Titus chapter 2 verse 9 talking about the fact you don't talk back to your boss, that you give him the honor and the esteem as a boss, that he's probably right. He's probably right. In other words, you esteem the other person better than yourself. If your boss insists on this way, say, boss, I believe you're probably right, I'll do it your way. To actually give the esteem to the boss, in the end he may be wrong, then God will salvage you. But you know, it's something that as Christians we have to understand. In our hearts, we need to have a respect for the positions God has put over us. And God says you are to honor that. And submission requires us to remove the pride that is in our life. And that's the example of Christ. Jesus had every right to go against the Roman emperor. He has every right because he's king. And yet he submitted himself because it was the will of God to accomplish our salvation. And Peter used that to teach the slaves about submission in the workplace. And that's something that we have to learn. Okay? God places no restriction on you that you must stay with the kind of boss you have. But Peter still teach that to be right with God, we are still to be in submission and honoring the boss just as we are in submission to our Heavenly Father until the day we leave the company. Even if you are planning to leave, you are still to honor the boss that were unreasonable to you. And to leave a good testimony behind, just as Christ did. And we are to follow his steps, do the right thing, that even though he was threatened, he did not fight back. But he committed himself to God, who judges righteously. Does that make sense? Now, I hope this will answer many of the questions we may have about, you know, my boss like that, should I do this, should I do that? Your first thing is, do you respect your boss? Because when you respect the boss, you're honoring God. You're fearing God. Are you doing your best in your work? I'm sure many of our brethren are. And so as you serve, as you do that, and even though your boss is unreasonable, you're saying, God, thank you for the job. Pray for my boss. He may be going through trials in his life or whatever. You pray for him, you honor him. And allow God to work things out for you. Does that make sense? Okay. This is 1 Peter 2 verse 18 to 25. I hope that we will realize the basic principle that Peter gives in submission is to obey your masters with all respect. So that when the master has a problem or needs help, he knows who to look to. Bosses know who are the reliable workers. That even under the stress, the worker still works his best. Okay? And I believe that if we take this on board and say, Lord, I want to be like Christ. Of course, I'm sure there are other variables that you can bring up, but the very basic principle is servants, obey, be subject to your masters with all respect, with all fear, not only to those who are good to you, but also to those who are unreasonable. And Peter gave three reasons. I hope that we can use that. Not just, I need to keep my KPI and get my bonus. So I bear with my boss. We don't want to live the level of this world. We want to live spiritual values. And to teach our children the spiritual values of respect and honor for authority as well. Alright? So we'll finish now, okay? And next week we'll be dealing with the whole area of submission in the husband and wife relationship. And I pray that God will help us there too. Let's have a word of prayer, alright? Let's close. Father, we pray. even as Peter taught us about submission in the workplace. Lord, Peter very clearly taught us, as servants, we are to obey our masters, be subject to them with all reverence, because our authority is from you, Lord. I mean, the people that you put us under, in those days, Father, it was even more inhumane and even more cruel. But Father, yet, you wanted, through Peter, to teach the Jewish Christians a picture of submission in Christ for the purpose of our salvation. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand this deeply, so that in our workplace, we will have a reflection of who Jesus is. That though he did the right thing, Lord, we are thankful sometimes we don't have to suffer for it. Some of our bosses are understanding and we do right, they reward us. But Lord, sometimes when we do the right thing and do our best, we don't get rewarded. Or rather, more than that, our bosses will revile us or insult us. But teach us, Lord, to commit ourselves to you first, because that's what your word says. Because at the end, Lord, you do have a purpose. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Eyes closed, heads bowed. Let me just ask you, Brother Johnny, maybe you're saying, Brother Johnny, I understand the message. Would you pray for me that God will work in my heart to have this attitude of respect for my boss, even though I find it hard. Or maybe there's something happening in your workplace that you want prayer for, and it has to do with this relationship. Is there someone like that? Brother Johnny, pray for me. Is there someone? Amen. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? Yes, I see that hand too. All right, let's pray. Father, there are some brethren, Lord, who have these issues. Lord, sometimes it's so hard. Humanly, Lord, it's so easy to fight back. But when we look at the Bible, give us grace, Lord, to be like Christ. Lord, it's important that we support our families. It's important that we do our work well. But Lord, you want us to rise above, Lord, what is humanly possible, to understand spiritual values, and to live and act on them. That, Father, we will still obey our masters, and sometimes it's hard. But God, I pray for these brethren, these brothers and sisters who have put up their hands. Lord, I pray that they will reflect Christ in their attitudes. They will not, never again, Lord, speak evil of their bosses, but pray for the bosses who revile them or insult them, as Jesus taught, that their lives may grow towards you, Lord. And Lord, you mentioned in your word the promise that when man's ways please the Lord, you make us even his enemies to be at peace with him. So Lord, I pray you work out things in their lives so that, Lord, your blessings can be seen. I pray once again for the brethren, give them much grace, much strength, wisdom, what to say, what not to say. But more than anything, change our hearts to be more like Christ, to have a respectful spirit, to honor all men, Lord, according to 1 Peter chapter 2. That our lives will reflect Jesus, and that all men will be drawn to Christ because of our lives. So Lord, we thank you as we just sing the closing hymn, Be Thou My Vision, we pray. Truly, Lord, even in our workplace, that you are our vision. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, teach us the submission of Christ, even in our workplace. The Lord will always honor our boss, because you taught us to be subjection to them with all reverence, with all fear. Lord, to those who are good and to those who are not so good, teach us, Lord, to grow. For Lord, it's so easy to slip back into our old ways of irritation and frustration. But Lord, help us to be like Christ, who knowing the will of God for our salvation, endured even the unreasonableness of man. Lord, in our own life, in our work, we may not know your plan, but teach us to trust that you have a plan. And Lord, you always do. There's nothing that escapes your notice. And Lord, you don't allow us to go through things that you did not plan for in order to benefit us, benefit the situation, or the people involved. Because God, you are always a good God. And because of the sufferings we go through, sometimes we are led to think otherwise. In other words, we think that you're not good because of the suffering. But Lord, help us to see from the sufferings of Christ that brought the eternal salvation for us sinners. Teach us, Lord, to trust the wise plan of God, even in suffering. And teach us, therefore, to learn the submission of God in our lives, even in our workplace. Father, I pray, help us for all those who have made decisions in their life. I pray, Lord, their life will be a fragrance of Christ. And God, for those who truly need to struggle, and sometimes they really feel it's so unfair, help them not to look at their situation, but to look at Christ, what He has done. And to say, Lord, that we may not know why or what to do, but that, Lord, we just obey and believe that You have Your plan and You will work it out in your life, our lives. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. I pray that if there's any nagging questions that need to be asked, I pray, Father, that we will get it answered through Thy word, wise counsel. And once again, for the brethren who may be undergoing stress at work because of boss or maybe colleagues, help us all to have a respectful spirit as Jesus had when He was on earth, Lord. There was no guile in His mouth. In other words, He didn't say anything to insult people. There was nothing, Lord, that people could find about Him complaining. Teach us to be like Christ. Thank You. As we fellowship and then prepare ourselves for the rest of the day, and some, I'm sure, have some plans with family and all that, I pray we have a blessed time. And Lord, may we reflect Christ in everything we do. We'll thank You. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.